I'd like you to talk because I just don't really have a direction to go in.
Okay, I can. I do. Okay.
Okay, great.
So, hit record.
Yeah, we are recording now.
Oh, okay. So it's January 27th, 16, and this is the Courtroom Observer Committee call. And I'm Laura Legere, and I would like everybody to go to the Court Observer Protocol page. Do you know where that is? It's you go to committees, click on Courtroom Observer Committee, and then a menu will come down that says Courtroom Observer Protocol right under that.
You want to go into lecture mode or?
Okay, I did that. Let's unmute Laura. Or she can,
I got her.
Okay, to go to the Courtroom Observer Protocol page, and I want people to go to number 3, because Carl just added a new thing that would be really interesting for people to try or do. I mean, I'm going to get one. But it's a press pass. And so there's a link to get a free press pass, and everybody has the right to be a press member. And having that as an ID will be, you know, I think it'll be more powerful than having just a regular ID around your neck. You're part of the press, so you should be able to film without them trying to tell you don't have the right to film in there. So it goes straight to the terms and conditions page, and then you'll be on the website and you can follow the instructions on how to do it. I haven't done it yet, but I thought that was a neat addition. And then if you go down to number 9, Carl added for the affidavits, he added the links for the affidavit form and the affidavit instructions right there. So you can download them straight from there. So I just feel like this is, the more information we get, we just keep adding to it. I just think it's a good page to print up to and just have it. Let's see. That's all the new stuff I have. I was wondering if anybody might have any questions about that. Is everybody muted?
Yeah. Star 6 on mute.
Okay. Well, why don't we unmute everybody so we can so we can interact some.
Question, where is that press pass thing again?
Okay, number 3 on the Courtroom Observer Protocol page.
I see that.
You see where it is? The link?
Yeah, but somebody's got to who's going to design that thing?
No, you just go to the website and they just do it.
Yeah, you follow the directions of the page.
Your badge.
Gotcha. You clip on that and you follow the directions and then print it up and then get it laminated and put it around your neck. Okay.
Well, I guess. I mean, I haven't followed the instructions quite yet, but it's actually a website to print up an authentic press pass, because they are, a press affiliate, and then you would be affiliated with them, and so.
So you're a member of their organization.
Yes,
and therefore you're legitimate. You're not counterfeit or posing as.
Right. Yeah. So, does anybody have any questions about the after?
I like the idea of doing that.
I know.
Everybody should do that.
So therefore, when I go to court myself, I can have the press pass on there with the video camera going right in front of the judge.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I haven't thought of
it. That's something you could do, yeah.
Anyway. I haven't thought of the person, the defendant, doing that, but I thought, oh, And does anybody have any questions about the affidavit instructions? Do you see where the links are on number 9, where the instructions are and where the affidavit form is?
Oh, right. I haven't checked, but I was getting complaints that people couldn't download the affidavit form. There was an issue with that.
There was an issue with the link on there?
Supposedly, yes.
Well, people weren't clicking on the affidavit down below. They were clicking on where it was talked about in the text.
Okay.
The ones that I talked to, anyway.
Oh, because I'm getting the Word document. I mean, I'm clicking on them, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, hello. Hello.
Okay, so...
Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yes. Laura, this is Dan.
Again, I can meet everybody. Again. All right, Laura, you can go now.
Okay. So we muted everybody again?
Yep, but yeah, because everyone was saying hello.
I just wanted, I guess I got somebody named Ann was asking
me. Yes, ma'am. I was trying to let you know that I could not open up the affidavit form. I was on the IRC website. It would not open up for me.
Are you talking about did you go to the Courtroom Observer Protocol website? I mean, page?
No, ma'am. I went to IRC website.
No. Go to, I know. I did adjust those things that I don't think anybody put it up. I don't know. Jan, do you know what happened to the one we made up for that, the IRC page?
The whole page?
Yeah, because Jan and I worked on it, and we corrected it, and you okayed it, but did it ever get up?
I thought you did that.
I don't know how to do that. Well, it worked for me.
I don't have a final copy of it.
Oh, I guess I do. Carl, I'll send you the copy again, okay?
Okay.
And Jan and I made it a lot easier for people to understand it. So.
Okay, where would it go?
The page that I'm talking about, if you go to committees, you go to Courtroom Observer Committee, and then you go to Courtroom Observer Protocol.
Oh, okay.
And then you go down, you scroll down to number 9. And the links for the instructions for the affidavit and the affidavit form are there.
Okay.
You know, if you go to the IRC page and just scan down below jury administration training and below the audios on documents, it says affidavit form. You click on it and it opens right up.
Yeah, they're the same documents.
Right, exactly.
Right, they're the same documents. So,
what's happening is on the IRC page.
Right, but I think what's happening is when it's mentioned in the instructions, they assume they should be able to click on that. And that's
they click on the affidavit instructions and affidavit form and download them.
Yeah, so that's where Jan and I kind of made it easier for people to understand those instructions. And I'll just redo that with you, Carl, so that gets up there. So,
Move on, Laura, I just tried to open that. And it is a Word document, a DocX, but it says Word cannot open the file because the file format does not match the contents. So there's a problem with that link or that document.
Which one? The affidavit instructions?
The affidavit form.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. On the IRC page.
Oh, on the IRC page.
Right.
Oh.
There's a clickable there.
And that's where the problem is coming in, on the IRC page.
Right.
Okay. Let me look at the IRC page here.
I also can't open it. I'm getting the same message.
Also for the affidavit writing instructions.
No, for the affidavit form.
Yeah, both.
All right, let me...
Not both, just the one.
Open Office will open them both without a problem and save it as a Word file. That just now.
And so will Liber. Liber will also.
So
but not you, Word.
So you can download a free Open Office or a free Liber and then deal with it that way unless Carl wants to work it.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I have it in.
That needs to be corrected. We don't have to have people going down and downloading OpenOffice and library just to make it so they can open it.
Yeah, I wish I knew what the problem was because it opens just fine for my computer.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because you're saying it's just what type of Word do you have, the older version or?
Mine is the 2013.
Okay.
My Word 7.
Oh, wow. All right, so I have to look into that then. Well, Laura, you have a Mac, right? Are you using Word?
And that's the, I mean, it works for me.
Yeah, so I'm using the same, so maybe that's why. So I'll need to go to a computer. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So I'll go check on that right now, but you can continue on if you want.
Oh, okay. All right, so does anybody have any cases they want to, any experiences in being a courtroom observer lately?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Jan, God is Love. I was at a case on Deborah Flowers, and the corruption there is just unbelievable. She tried to... The opposing attorney ran down the list of all the allegations that are looked upon as true, and she showed up to court that she was had a drink, which she did say she did, but some of the other tests that she had, she tried to explain herself that she was using a mouthwash because she was taking medication or had to do with a breast cancer thing. And the residuals were there, so when she had the breathalyzer test done, it came out as positive, and then she had another test that came out negative. And these people, out of 9 counts, nailed her to 2 and wanted to throw in jail. And there's, like, no mercy for that poor woman. That she couldn't even... The opposing lawyer that she has is... Or the lawyer that she has... there's issues there with the history and background, and she just doesn't know which direction to go. They're going to lock her up. And while she's locked up, she's going to still owe child support while she's locked up. How do you pay child support when you're locked up and don't have a job and don't have a house? And, you know, because they basically ended up bankrupting her. So it's that's... CPS stuff, that divorce stuff is... Anybody about thinking about divorce, they'll destroy your life. Today's this divorce is not like it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. They'll destroy your life. They'll drain you like it's unbelievable. I yield.
It feels like that about anything. I mean, anything. They've blown everything way out of proportion to get more money out of people and just making normal stuff a felony. I mean,
well, you heard it was a few Mondays ago. There's a gentleman that came on. He says, my daughter threw a rock at her boyfriend, missed her. The police were called. Somehow the police got involved, and they're dragging her through the courts. And the boyfriend says, I'm not pressing charges, but the authorities are still pushing the agenda. So John
that,
says, well,
no, that John, used. That used to mean that nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, but they're still pushing their agenda. And so John says, well, we'll do a habeas corpus and have the boyfriend be the next a friend and see how they handle that.
I know. I also, are you done with that case or not? I mean, or just...
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm yielding.
Because I'm dealing with this guy in Tennessee... who the thing is these people, the people that are arguing the straw man case are getting in so much trouble, and he had to go back to court, and he kept telling him he wasn't the name that the judge kept calling him, and the judge just said, if you say that one more time, we're just taking you in, and he did. So they took him back in. So now I'm actually dealing with his wife, who is being a little more reasonable, and she's putting her his case in, and Linda's going to be helping her, so she's got her paperwork in. But, you know, I just keep hearing this when people start arguing these things, the sovereignty movement that taught everybody all this stuff, they go in and get in trouble right away. And so I am so grateful at National Liberty Alliance and how they're dealing with stuff. And, you know, the same thing in Oregon. I mean, just having a bloodbath doesn't help anything.
Well, neither does fighting them, because they just blow you off.
Right.
Everything my lawyer put forward, they dismissed, pretty much dismissed everything. And they're just, you show them the truth. I know of a gentleman, he's an NLA member, he's in the federal courts over 10 years, and he puts his papers together pristinely, perfectly, and they just blow everything off. Everything off.
Right. Because they don't know how, well, that's why we're doing what we're doing. So,
but you screw up a little bit, and they'll throw you in jail.
I know, yep. Because they're just extracting money out of everybody. That's the only purpose of it. It has nothing to do with justice. That's why when people go into the court and they don't know anything, they're just arguing common sense and reason, and that's not what that court is about at all. So
you're making an excellent case.
So we're talking to the choir on this. So I want to know if anybody has any other, and does anybody else have any case they'd like to talk about or any experiences being a courtroom observer?
Yeah, you're making a great case to get behind the district leader movement and get that going, because that's going to help things move right along. We're going to get into all the counties and we're going to go places, because they're just totally out of control. There's no way you're ever going to win in any of those courts now. Until you get control of the situation.
Okay, so Jan, then I'm going to ask you this, because both the other Jan and I...
You got to distinguish us somehow. What do you say, Jan?
Jan P and Jan H.
There you go.
Okay, Jan P and I...
I'm Jan P, too. My middle name's Philip.
Uh-oh.
Don't complicate it now. Don't complicate it.
Okay, anyway... can you make it, we're unclear about what it is that they want us to do as district leaders. And I know you wanted me to come up with a, you know, kind of a protocol or whatever, and I will, but I'm just not clear, and maybe this is a good call for you to explain that.
Okay. We have 90 districts that they're going to worry about. We're not going to worry about the territories and the Philippines and that sort of thing. So we've got 90 positions for district leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're going to organize things. Once we get a district leader in each district, there's going to be a huge meeting with John, and we're going to go through and explain in detail what we're going to do.
Oh, okay.
And that is, so nobody knows right now, okay? But what they're going to do, basically, is to have those district leaders start to fan out and recruit more people to help them and to become county organizers, because we're missing about 2/3 of the counties, as far as I can tell. So we're going to fill in those ranks, and then we will have a position in each county to start to spread out from. And then we're going to start checking on things like, is there a oath of office on file, and various and sundry other things, because we'll have manpower in each county and each federal district. So we'll go to the federal district courts, all 90 of them, and check on these things. Well, that's where we're headed.
Okay, but really, nobody really knows yet exactly.
Well, that's the basic format we're going to follow. And then
right, but I mean, I know, I'm glad that you're telling us that. It's just that I kept thinking I was supposed to know something.
Well, okay, what you need is a protocol to call people. We're canvassing the members, okay? We're going to start with the county observers first, to see if any of those want to step up in those states that we, or not states, districts that we don't have people. Mm-hmm. And then if we run out of them before we fill those positions, then we'll start on the members list. And then after we get all of them filled, then we'll start going through the entire members list to see which people want to work and want to lend a hand now. And if they don't, then we'll kind of put them on an inactive file And we'll take the active file and we'll start to do these other things, do the research, go to the federal courts, start working with the county sheriffs and the local courts and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds really good. Yeah. So
good.
That, you know, that's what I feel like. I mean, you know, with the courtroom observers, you know, getting really good about giving them very detailed, you know, instructions on what to do instead of not do. We do it with everything.
A lot of people don't like to talk to people even on the phone. So if you give them a script to go by and tell them the points they need to hit, they can do it in their mind and paraphrase it in their terms and use their language and just chat with them, chit-chat, sit there and talk to them for a while and start asking, you know, are you active, are you inactive, you've been to the Monday night call, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're looking for district leaders, we're also looking for county organizers, we have a civics course, constitution course, we've got a lot to offer now with all these different things. So, and try and reactivate them, rejuvenate them. A lot of them are just getting old and tired, been doing it a long time. We need to rejuvenate.
Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, we always need that. So, good. All right. And without overwhelming them, because that happens too.
Don't blow them away, yeah. Please.
So we can pick just certain things that will, you know, help that, and then they slowly get into it. Okay, that sounds great. So, all right, does anybody else have any... anything? I mean, is everybody muted or not? I can't tell because I'm not on.
All muted. Yeah. So all you have to do, star 6 to unmute.
Okay.
Yeah, you can press star 6 to unmute, and I the form to download the affidavit form should actually be up and working now.
Oh.
So if people want to try that.
All right.
On
both pages, right?
Well, what was I thought only one was an issue. Or both issues?
I thought they said it was because it was the same one. So we should go to the IRC and make sure that works.
Oh, both links, yes. Both links should work.
Have and give it a try.
Yeah, so people refresh and give it a try and then try to open.
We'd like some input so we can get looking at them.
Yeah.
Nikki, did yours work?
It's working now.
Yeah, see, for me, it's not great because it always works for me. I mean, it was working for me before, but... Oh, I see, okay.
Okay. So, do you want people to... let me see here. Okay, so are we going to go review the documents then? Because I may be able to go over them briefly.
Go over what briefly?
Documents.
The documents.
You know, affidavit instructions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll give a general... brief synopsis of what really an affidavit is. It's really your story, but don't accuse anybody of doing anything. Don't say they violated this or that. Just state the facts. One of the ways you do that is you remember that you have the date of something. You have who did what, so it's the name. You have the action that happened, so so-and-so, you know, shot me or whatever. And then you have to whom, which is either I or a friend. So that's really the simple, basic structure of an affidavit. And you want to really do that for every single fact. So fact, someone stole my stuff, put date. It was the FBI stole my car, and that's that. Don't say the FBI stole my car and violated Amendment Number 1, Amendment number 5, Amendment number 7. Just keep with the date, name, action, and home. And one of the things that you want to remember about an affidavit is that you want to keep it in order. So don't sound like you're crazy and talk about the future, then the past, then the future again, all in the same sentence. You want to make it a logical story so that this came first, then this came, and finally it wrapped up with that, and that's where I am today. And always remember to as you write this, to try to get your notes, try to remember what happened. You'll have to write it probably a few times just to get the wording right. Remember to get your court docket, and when you do get it, and ask who did what to whom. And that's really that. And if you have some proof, maybe that's not necessarily something you want to put in the affidavit itself, that's maybe supporting the affidavit. So do not give any validity to any of the fiction of the statutory courts. Don't use any language like man of the land or sovereign citizen. Don't say that you're God, grace, whatever, or that you're part of some sort of international court or you're using UCC. None of that. We're just, remember, common law. If it's something about commerce, it's most likely a big no-no. And just read it to yourself and kind of logically go through it and make sure what you're saying is something maybe a friend can understand. And maybe even if you feel comfortable enough, you can say to a friend, hey, can you read this over and tell me what do you think about it? And that's really, I think, a synopsis of what you need to do in your affidavit. Now, if you look at the form, it's pretty much there is always a first statement that says, I, blank, affidavit being lawful of age, qualified and competent to testify, and having first-hand knowledge of the following facts, do hereby swear that the following facts are true, correct, and not misleading. That always has to be there. That's because what that is, it's really a formal declaration that what this is true. And the other thing that always has to be there is the jurat that the notary has to sign. And the jurat is actually the thing at the bottom that's, in your state, in your county on this day, before me, your name, to me known to be the living man or woman described here, who exceeded the foregoing instrument, and has sworn before that he or she exceeded the same as his own, his or her free will, act, and deed. That's always required. And so, really, if you keep that in mind, that's really an affidavit. You write it like any story. So does anybody have any questions on that?
Got a comment.
I can make a comment here before you go on. This is something that you're not going to just rush right through and you're done. You write it out quickly, like you say. Make sure then you go back through and you got it in time sequence, front to back, start to finish. Then go through and see, can you take each paragraph? Can you write it more simply than it's written? Because some of these I've been looking at are 8-10 pages long. It's just too long. A page, 2 pages, 3 pages, maybe 3 at max. So if it's longer than that, go over it again, consolidate it, say it more succinctly until you get it down to maybe 3 pages. It takes a lot of work to do something well, and you can't just go through it once. You're going to have to go through it a number of times, and good luck. That's all I
Thanks,
got.
Yeah.
A comment? Where they say swear, or you can add also to that swear and or affirm, because some people are anti-swearing. So you can put and or affirm at the top and at the bottom of that form.
That you can. So You can either do swear, but I would do swear or affirm.
Either
so,
word, right.
But, yeah, so don't put I hear swear and affirm. I just do swear. Or if you're really against swearing, just do affirm. Just replace the word. Don't say and. Affirm.
Right.
Or just look up the legal definition of swear and then go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, you want to, you know, if you do have an objection to that, I don't really know what to tell you because swearing is really more of an oath to God. So, you know, people who are against swearing, it's okay, but, you know, we want to try to make this as original as possible, and I think swearing is just more powerful than affirming, in my opinion. But
God says don't swear. So, if you're going to follow the Bible, follow the Bible. That's why I'm saying affirm is, and in the courts, they tell you either swear or affirm, either way is acceptable. They don't care. They're crooked anyways.
Yeah.
You don't see their lawyers swearing in, you know, like they expect you to swear in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm muted.
All right. Thank you. So does anybody else have any other comments or statements to make?
I was just, hello?
Yep.
This is Andrew Milliken from North Carolina. I was just touching base to see when you guys would possibly be working down here in North Carolina.
What do you mean working in North Carolina?
We have a lot of child protection cases that we've referred a lot of people to. You guys, the National Alliance, they filled out the affidavit. There's a lot of people that have a lot of questions, and a lot of them are just really nervous on who to contact or whatever because of the fact of the threats and stuff like that down here ever since they lost their children.
Okay. Well,
there's National Alliance and there's National Liberty Alliance. They're two different organizations.
It's National Liberty Alliance. We gave them the information to get on the, fill out the affidavit and stuff like that to help, you know.
You have names?
Okay. They're referred from my wife's Facebook and a lot of people that's downtown because we volunteer down to the feeding places for the churches. And a lot of the people come down there. Just to, you know, be able to get out with it here.
If I may, this is Russ Van Sand, one of the North Carolina state coordinators. Look on the website, get my phone number, email, and contact me.
Okay.
What about our case?
What county are you in?
I'm in Cumberland County.
Cumberland.
What's your
okay.
name? What's
I'm
your
in
name?
Ford County, Northeast.
My name's Andrew Millington.
Pardon?
Andrew. My name's Andrew Millington. We have a case with you, with the National Alliance, too, Liberty Alliance.
Well, you're on our call tonight, so you know us. That's right. I hope you're a member. You signed up
right.
on the website?
Yeah. Yes, he has a case in, and it's in stage two processing right now, which means he has filed it, and Linda has it, and she's working on it, okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
look me up.
We're just nervous because we have a son that's in and out of the hospital. Cystic fibrosis, and he don't have much time to live.
Hmm.
And we had to find out from outside the family.
Okay. So thank you for reminding us about that. And we'll definitely, you know, I'll talk to Linda about that when I can to sort of...
All right, what's the name that I can look for on Liberty Alliance?
Yeah, so look for your status on National Liberty Alliance by going to directory, hovering over it. Don't
yes,
click
sir.
It. And then go to track habeas corpus petition.
Okay.
and then there should be a table.
All right. Russ told me to get his number off there just as well.
Yeah, you can get it off the directory, the state coordinators.
Yeah. Okay.
Get back in court.
Yeah, he's going to talk to Linda.
Kids home.
Yeah, he's going to talk to Linda.
Because I need to do something. That's fun.
All right. I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
What they say?
You're going to talk to Linda.
Okay. So, does anybody else have any other comments, questions that they'd like to speak about? Any experiences in the court houses? Nobody. Wow.
How many people are on?
Well, we have
36.
But maybe I'll open to I don't know. Maybe I'll open to Q&A, and people want to come in, I'll just add them that way. I don't want to unmute people because if I do that, I feel like we're going to have like 5 or 10 different voices speaking out. So people want to come onto the Q&A, they can right now, and so that way we know who wants to speak. So it should be, is it *6 to unmute and then you press 1, Jan?
Right, right. That'll get you there.
Okay. So if people want to do that, it's open right now. Currently we don't have anybody in it. If people just want to speak about anything really, they can at this time. Oh, okay, hold on. We got Jan from Michigan. Hey, Jan.
Jan, God is love.
Yeah.
I want to express to the listeners and everyone out there that the courts are so corrupt. No matter what you do, their way or your way or any way, right now they're just going to just, like you don't exist, like you're just a dead person, you know. And so National Liberty Alliance is working very hard to break that bond, that chain, and do it the constitutional way and force them to listen. Because they're one-sided and their eyeballs see dollar signs when they see you. And they're going to figure out one way or another to get as much money out of you as possible. And the justice for all, there's no justice. It's just sad. So let people know about National Liberty Alliance. Let's fill the positions that are out there. Let's get on to all the conference calls and see where we can help to educate people and bring this country back to where it needs to be. I yield.
Thank you, Jan. If anybody else wants to come on, they can. If not, I think we can. Do we want to go over anything else today?
Well, I just have one comment that I think is really encouraging, and that is because of the emails that go out to the courtroom observers that are a lot more detailed than they used to be, I think people are forwarding to friends, and I'm getting a lot of neat emails saying, can I get on to be a courtroom observer? Where do I go? You know. Or people just say, I'm going to be at that case. It's really nice. It feels very encouraging. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and, even on this call tonight, I've been really busy the past Wednesdays, but this is really double what it was when I last was here. So that's just amazing to see. So thank you, Laura, for really leading it while I was very busy and sick. There's actually a couple more people in the queue, so I'm going to go to them.
Okay.
So there's a caller, 643 caller.
Hi, hello?
Yes.
Hi. How many conference calls are there on a weekly basis?
Well, I think we have one Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock, because they're all different. Monday's really the one we're asking all people to attend, and that's a three-hour one. Now, I understand that people are busy and maybe can't make it all, But if you can make the first hour, that's generally where the important news is. And then generally Tuesday, there's an IRC call, which is an investigative research committee call. Wednesday, so today, there's the Quorum of Observers. And then tomorrow, there's generally a call on sheriffs. That's the sheriff call. And those are the three we really have right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, Carl, who's putting up the recordings on the IRC now? I see we don't have any in this year yet. The last one was the 29th of December.
Well, I know, I think Jan canceled a lot of those meetings because he, I'm sorry, not, Nathan canceled a lot of meetings because he was attending some personal matters.
Right.
So I don't really know.
Ooh, are there any in that time frame? That's a month ago.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been really busy, so I don't even know there were Thursday meetings. I'm sorry, Tuesday meetings.
Yeah, I've been on a Tuesday meetings, and they were on.
They are, okay.
Okay.
Nikki has led them, and Linda.
Okay, so I'm not sure who hosted them.
We need to find the recordings, and I guess they'd be on the Monday night room, but on Tuesday night, right?
Right. So they should actually be available for us here.
Yeah.
In the history and recording.
Right. I've got a few people been looking for them, is why I was curious.
Yeah. One of us will have to go through and just get that and put them on the site.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go on to the next caller. It's 706.
Yes, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Kenny out of Augusta, Georgia. I just signed up last week, and my question is on the civics course and constitutional course. Every time I get on and go under the educational, the free courses, and click under civics course, it's taken me to a quiz. Now, is that how it's supposed to be, or am I supposed to go through something else before I take this quiz? Because every time I click on it, it's going to a quiz and not
okay.
Like a course, an actual course.
Yeah, so the way course. It actually works, that works is that the quizzes are actually part of the course. And so that is the course you're taking. So if you see a quiz, you're taking the course.
Okay. So I didn't know if it was I'd have to watch all the videos and stuff and then take the quizzes, you know what I mean?
I do, yeah. You can just go on and watch each video for each section and then answer the question for that current section you're on. So there should be a Bill Thornton video for like a part one, you watch part one, you answer the quiz for the part one, then you go to the part two and you answer the quiz for the part two and so on.
See, what I'm getting at is I'm not seeing a video. I'm under the education part, I see videos, but under the free course, and then I click the civics course, I'm not seeing any, videos for that, is what I'm saying. Is
okay.
It a video?
Well, there's a lot of audios.
Yeah, there's audios.
Okay. I seen that, and I tried clicking on it, and it was buffering, but it never played, so maybe I just need to get on my computer, because I was doing everything through my telephone.
Right.
Yeah. The computer's better because our website's not designed for the phone, and
okay.
I tried to make it a little bit better, and I'll think about making it a little bit better in the future, but it still has issues with that.
Okay, I got you. I'm just, most of the time I'm at work, and I can listen to things at work while I'm working. I'm just not able to be on the computer at that time, you know what I mean? So
I do.
That's
yeah,
fine.
So maybe I can even add a link or something to download these MP3s. Jan, do you know if the MP3s are actually available on the website elsewhere?
I think they are. I think all of them are on the website at some point under information, education.
Okay.
I don't think there's any in the quiz that weren't on the website before.
Okay. So maybe you could, if you still want to use your phone, you should be able to search our site. I'm not quite sure where and be able to find those audios.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. And is there any other thing that I should be doing, like, besides the courses or anything to... I do get on YouTube and look under constitutional things to prepare myself and learn myself what's going on in the courtroom and basically the Constitution. So I just want to know if there's anything else that y'all recommend that I could be doing besides.
Join a committee.
Go to the Monday night call, too.
Well, he wants to join a committee like the courtroom observers.
Recruiter.
Is that how you got on this call? Are you a courtroom observer on the list?
No, I was on Monday. I listened to John Monday. Then I got on yesterday, and I guess the thing happened out in Oregon, so nobody really, stayed on. But I've just been getting on each day to see, the process and what's going on, just being observing, that's all.
Well, if you want to, though, we need courtroom observers to support people going to court, plus it's a really good education. So if you go to the committee's link and go to Courtroom Observer Committee, and then you can go down to join the Courtroom Observer group, and also look at the call to action page that's under the Courtroom Observer Committee and the Courtroom Protocol. There's a lot of good information there. Because we're also, when you're on the Courtroom Observer Committee, you also can, if people request for you to call the courts on your behalf, like call the clerk, the judge, the sheriff, and, they have their case out there. We have call scripts that you can go by. I mean, it's not that
these people incarcerated? Is that why they need...
Oh, well, not everybody is, no, but some people are. But And then they have either their parent or a friend or their spouse or whatever that's filling out a courtroom observer request, and they might ask people to call them, so it doesn't matter where you live. You can always make these phone calls on their behalf, and you're basically... you can see the on the call to action link that's on the Courtroom Observer Committee drop-down menu. That has three different scripts and good points to point out when you're calling these, the clerk or the judge, or you're just leaving a voicemail about their constitutional rights. And then if you actually have somebody that you can actually support that happens to be going to court in your area, you'll be on the email list. Get a notification about this case and where it's going to be and what it's about. And it's really important to be a courtroom observer, because what you do is you will fill out an affidavit as a witness what goes on in the court. That's what Carl was explaining, what an affidavit is, but it's evidence of what they're doing in the court, because a lot of times the judges will doctor the stuff up in there. And having more than one, I mean, one person is great, more than one person is better, and more than that is really good, because that's a lot of evidence in the person that has to go to court's favor of, what's really going on. So that's an important role. So that's all, if you want to do that. That's what I'm heading. Carl and I are the admin for it. So we encourage people to do that. But there's other committees to do too.
Well, I don't need no experience. I'm just going in there and observing.
Right. You don't need any experience, but we have the protocols and how to do stuff on the two pages that I told you about.
Okay. Because I was skeptical about doing anything until, I got, majority of this information in my head, so,
Oh, no. No, you do not have to do that at all. This, here's the thing. When they gave me this job, I had no idea what I was doing, and I'm still learning. We are learning by the seat of our pants, and it is, to me, more challenging and kind of fun to be asked to do something, and you have no clue, and you have to go figure it out. You don't need to know everything, and even with the courtroom observer, we have such good details of how to do it, because all you're going to do is sit there and observe and take notes. Now, we are telling people that they can, if you go to the courtroom observer protocol page on number 3, there's a link there to get a free press pass.
Yeah, I heard you about that earlier.
Do that, because you want to go and film, but sometimes they intimidate people and tell you you can't, even though that's not legal what they're saying to you, and there's court cases to point out that give you the right to film, but what they've gotten to the point where they just intimidate you to not film, and then they throw you out of the court, and the most important thing is to be able to sit there and stay in there. So if all you have is a notepad, that's great. I mean, we want people to sit in the seats. We don't want them to be thrown out of the court because of the filming. But if you have a press pass, that might be even different, more powerful. So it's fun. Yeah, you don't have to know all this stuff before you go in there.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the information.
They call that baptism by fire, I think.
Yeah.
Turn fast, huh?
So I'm going to go on to a couple more people. So I'm going to go on to Connecticut Ed, 203.
Yes. Hi, how you doing? I just was able to get on the call. I'm not sure who is there. Is John there in the background?
No, he only really comes on the Monday night call unless there's some sort of emergency.
Okay. Yeah, because I know he was on last Wednesday, but that's okay. Some people just need some clarification on some things. Some people need some clarification on this, and just see if you could answer it or not. As far as when people are in trouble, they have and this is a way of being able to have people get behind National Liberty Alliance, because they could see the inconsistencies of like there's no remedy except for common law remedies. And I'll just give you the example and see what you could do with this. Some incident could be happening, and then you're calling the police. They won't do anything. You could even call the state police, the FBI. Anyway, long story short, you could call until the cows come home, and no one's going to help you. They say, oh, get a lawyer. But that's not going to help, because something is happening right then. So what I'm thinking, is it possible then that someone could just, if we were in tact with the sheriffs and the militia, you would then contact the sheriff, and you'd have the militia there to take care of a problem. Because there's so many, I could give so many examples of how something like this could happen, and the police won't do anything. And you see, years ago, at least the police would freeze the scene. And that way, at least until there could be a civil remedy, but they won't even do that. They just walk away and just say, get a lawyer, whatever. So anyway, I'll just put that out there and see what you think about that.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking that, because that's you brought up an important point. The one thing that we are really supportive of is the sheriff. And it's the sheriff who has unlimited jurisdiction within his own county to do the arrests. He's the top law enforcement officer in his county. So if there's a problem, it should go to him first. I know Connecticut is a little bit different because it's sort of a
Sherry's from Connecticut, I'm correct, right?
Are you from Connecticut?
Absolutely. And of course, you are correct. The sheriffs were distinguished in 2000, so 16 years ago. And of course, we're running, you know, and imagine the interesting thing, this is the Constitution state. So imagine we're the Constitution state and we don't have a sheriff. It's just so, if it wasn't so serious, it would be hilarious.
Right.
Could you imagine? So, yeah.
I know. It's crazy. But, so it's always the sheriff or the marshal first. But we really don't want to call the militia unless it's really a last resort, and that would be every single remedy came out. And we would want the militia to accompany a sheriff if the sheriff
right.
is designating his people. And that's really
I understand. Yeah, under the that's why I mentioned it would be under the direction of the sheriff if it was needed. And you're right, the sheriff might just be able to handle it himself with a deputy, even, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what I'm getting at with that question is that, you know, this gives incentive for people, because I want to see millions of people in NLA. And these are the kind of things that happen, and there's absolutely no remedy. And then, see, by the time you could seek out a civil remedy, well, all the evidence is gone. If the police will not take action. I'll give this a simple,
steroids, Rico on steroids, as we like to say. So, you know, all the people can do right now while we're trying to work on the action and all that, and we are working on some things, is to just record the crime and to build up support for their court case. So really that's at this point what you could do. You can educate people. But we don't encourage anybody to, on their own accord, call out people to make arrests unless it's some sort of lawful or law enforcement officer.
No, and I understand that. And I wouldn't be seeking any arrests. In other words, just to be able to, at the very least, freeze the scene. And, of course, if it was a qualified sheriff, they'd actually be able to sort it out at the scene who was right. But even if it was just to freeze it so that there would be no further damage. And just for example, you know, people could be taking things, very expensive things, things worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, machinery and equipment. So you call the police and say, look, they're stealing that. And then they don't do anything. So at least if you had a sheriff, it would have to be definitely frozen, because you say, look, there's a question here of ownership. But then the police just let the people take it. And it's the same thing. And that's more of an industrial thing happening, of course, with machinery. But, of course, in every situation, as far as with housing and any type of thing where people are involved, that's a very big portion of the law and crime happens in a housing matter. So
no,
that's all I'm asking for. Yeah, it's just even if it could be frozen until clearer heads could prevail.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we can try to do with what we're doing, like habeas corpuses and all these things. We've, at the very least, delayed a lot of court cases and delayed a lot of things. So, you know, unfortunately we can't, we really haven't succeeded getting anything dismissed for a lot of these cases, but we have actually delayed a lot of these court cases or pushed them into the future. So that's a positive sign. But listen, I really have to move on.
That's fine. Listen, there was someone else. Well, I got on pretty quickly, so I know there's not too many people waiting. There was another question that someone had, and they might be having trouble getting on, so maybe I could just ask that. It's simply when someone is in court and they're trying to explain to the judge, and this is a general question, as far as opening up a court of record, and then, of course, if the judge does not do that, that would be a constitutional violation. Now, the question was, there was a little confusion where someone was saying, oh, well, they have to ask for a grand jury, And I was just questioning that, that I thought it was just the court of record or the common law court that you're trying to open up. So that's the question there. So let's see what.
Do you have an answer for me, Jen? Or
that's a good question.
And maybe just to make it easier, just to maybe rephrase it. In other words, when someone's in court, are they mentioning that they want a grand jury, or are they mentioning that they want a common law court, a court of record, which that's what I think it is, but I'll never give information to someone that I'm not 100% sure.
Record.
They usually start and say, is this a court of record? And if they say no, then, you know, or why do you have an indictment or a presentment signed with a wedding signature to indicate that, you know, there has been a grand jury meeting, because no one shall be held to bear in court unless there is one of those two things. So you can go through that ritual. But once you're sucked into the chancery, then you've got to go through and file later, like John says. And that sort of thing.
Right, like you were saying, you would have an epiphany, and then at that time you would say, well, you're hijacked in a foreign court, and this is not the proper court, and then you'd bring up. But even at that point, you would be bringing up the fact that you want a common law court, a court of record, not that you're asking for a grand jury.
Right. You want to ask for a court of record, because with that, that essentially you're asking whether there's a magistrate independent of the tribunal.
Right.
And so that means there's a trial jury. You're asking for a trial jury. So that's really what. So you're pretty safe saying you're asking for a court of record. Yeah, because that means the judge out there can't actually be the tribunal.
Right.
And the magistrate.
Right, because he can't make a decision. He's only like a administrator or whatever, just a referee.
Right.
Yeah, and that's – well, thank you very much. I'll let you get on with the other court. But just one thing for tonight, because I came on just a little late. What is the topic for tonight? What is the premise for tonight?
Just to talk about courtroom observer business. And so we just wanted to show people the affidavit stuff and potentially where they can get the press passes if they need them.
Excellent. So now, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Larry, from Ohio, I saw you were in and out. So you have like 1 minute. You should be unmuted.
Me?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. This is Larry in Ohio. And I was just wondering if you guys could give specific examples how courtroom observers have helped somebody.
There was an article in the newsletter here 2 weeks ago about a fellow in Texas that went in and sat in the courtroom, and he was just amazed at what happened. There's a nice little write-up there. I think it's the number 12 newsletter.
Okay.
You can see that on the website. It's under news, I guess, down the lower right-hand corner of the next window that opens up. It says newsletter.
Okay.
So the other thing about that is the prosecuting attorney and the judges do behave a lot better when they have watchers in there.
Oh, yeah.
But the main thing is to get the evidence through the affidavit that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll yield.
All right. Thank you very much. We're a little bit over, so I'm going to end it and wish everybody a good night and good luck with their particular cases that they have to deal with.
Thank you, Carl.
No problem. Everybody, and have a good night.